Nathan Zagura, very happy to be joined by the legendary Greg Cosell from NFL Films. Greg, how are you?
After the legendary there, Nathan, I don't know.
It's warranted.
Warranted. Wow, I'm doing great. It's good to be with you.
It is good to be with you as well. Obviously, let's start at the most important position in all of professional sports.
Left guard.
The left guard position, as you know. Fortunately, the Browns in good shape with Joel Bitonio. But the second most important position, quarterback, is out there. And today, it sounds like a lot of reports out there, Jimmy Garoppolo won't be available, period, in trade. So if you're the Browns, you're probably looking maybe to free agency, but more likely to the draft. So let's look at this class as a whole. Is this a class where the Browns or another team can find that guy somewhere to lead this franchise?
You know, here's the way I look at it, Nathan. To me, and maybe it's because I have such great respect for coaches, I think when you start looking at quarterbacks in the NFL, if there's not a high level talent, and I don't believe there's one of those guys in this draft, I don't think there's a Carson Wentz. I don't think that there's a Andrew Luck or a Matthew Stafford. I don't see that guy in this draft. So now what you get to is scheme adaptability. How does a Hugh Jackson look at the quarterbacks in this draft and say, this guy can run my offense effectively? Because that's ultimately what you're looking for.
Sure.
You want to run your offense efficiently and effectively. So the question becomes, who is that guy in the draft? You know, and it's funny because it doesn't – everybody, I'm sure, wants the Browns with the first pick, you know, because it's a quarterback. But it doesn't have to be that guy. You know, you can look at a guy, and I'm going to throw a name out, and I actually liked him on film, a Nathan Peterman out of Pittsburgh, who, in my view, in the right situation, can become an Andy Dalton-like player. Now, maybe for Browns fans, that's not viewed as good enough. I don't know the answer to that. You might know better than I. But obviously, Hugh Jackson knows Andy Dalton. He coached him. You know, someone like Peterman is not a guy you have to take with the first pick in the draft. Because don't forget, the Browns are in a situation where they need a lot of things, not just one thing. Everybody focuses on quarterback, deservedly so. It's obviously the most important position. But you always have to be careful. The one thing you don't want to do, if let's say the first quarterback on your board is the 27th best player on your board, you can't take him with the first pick in the draft. You can't do that, no matter how important the position is.
Right.
So I don't know how Hugh Jackson and everybody in the building has the quarterbacks. They're probably still doing a lot of due diligence. They're in the process now, so I don't know how it will play out. But you have to be careful about that. You can't reach like that when you're a team that has a lot of needs.
If Garoppolo were on the market, would you have traded the 12th pick for him?
You know, we've been going back and forth in the office at NFL Films for so long. I don't know if any of us ever came up with a good answer. And since my investment portfolio is not as large as the people in Cleveland making that decision, I don't know. And I think that's probably my answer.
Okay.
You know, and maybe that says that I wouldn't do it, because if I say I don't know, it's like when somebody asks you,
right,
you know, is he a Hall of Famer? If you have to think about it, then you're saying no.
Terrell Owens is a Hall of Famer, by the way, in
is.
My opinion.
He
I
is.
Think so.
Yes,
you agree?
I agree. Yes.
Yes, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
We'll get sidetracked.
But anyway,
yes.
I'm not sure. You know,
okay.
I think when you have a lot of needs, and the flip side, of course, is if you think he's the guy, then it doesn't matter what you give up, because
small price to pay.
You need
right.
the guy. Right.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about the guys. There are five guys that we've heard are number one on a various team's board here in this draft. So let's start DeShone Kizer out of Notre Dame. Strengths, weaknesses, and where does he rank for you amongst these prospects?
Kizer's a really good thrower of the football. He's a big kid. He has the size you want in the quarterback position. So the talent in terms of throwing a ball is there. I think the concerns you would have with Kizer, he's a beat late with a lot of throws. He has what Bill Polian has often called slow eyes.
Which is a problem.
Which is a concern, and you have to really study that hard and try to understand why that's the case. Because if you don't feel that can be corrected, then he will never be a quality starter in the NFL. So that's a concern right there. But when you just look at the physical talent, and the size, he's what you want in a quarterback.
All right, then let's go to another guy who has maybe quicker eyes, but maybe not the same physical gifts, Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, and Trubisky is a guy that I think is somewhat polished as a pocket player. He does leave the pocket too early, which as a one-year starter does not surprise me. And I think that that's something you have to decide how you feel about that, because you don't want to disrupt the timing of your own offense. You can't build an offense around unstructured plays.
Correct.
And I think early in his career, he'll be a quarterback that will leave the pocket early because he won't see things quite as clearly, and he'll leave the pocket. And you know what? He'll make some plays, but that's not the way you can build an offense. Now, there's one thing that bothers me a little about Trubisky, and normally guys can't correct this. He's what we call, Nathan, a locked front leg thrower. And when you lock your front leg, it limits your ability to drive the ball with velocity, and at times, depending on the kind of throw, it negatively impacts your accuracy.
Yep.
So that's something to me, maybe that's a personal thing with me, but I'm always leery of guys who, when they throw, lock their front leg.
Yeah, it seemed like he would fall back as a result on times, and that caused inconsistency in his deep ball. And you have full articles, at least right now, I believe, on Watson and Trubisky.
Yep, with others
at
coming
Yahoo,
out.
With the others coming out. So let's talk about Deshaun Watson there, a guy who's going to do some things out of structure. And when you look at it, college resume should say this guy should be the number one pick, but he's clearly not that consensus guy, and tell us why.
And that's because the talent level is not quite what you want. The size, the throwing ability, he's going to do exceptionally well in the interviews. I've gotten a chance to know Deshaun Watson. There's not a better kid than Deshaun Watson. And the fact that he's played in a lot of big games and has performed in critical moments absolutely does mean something. There's no getting around that. But again, the reason he's not a consensus top two or three pick is just because what you ultimately look for in an NFL quarterback is not quite there. As I said, the size, the arm talent. He's an orchestrator. He's a distributor. That's what his game is. Now, he'll make some plays outside of structure as well. But ultimately, he's a player that needs other pieces within the context of his offense. He needs a run game. He needs quality skill position players. You have to look real hard. His last year at Clemson, even though they won the national championship, you have to look real hard, Nathan, at the number of sort of what we might call head-scratching throws. There were too many throws that were just bad reads, bad understanding of where to throw the ball. And for a quarterback with his experience, they were surprising plays.
Yeah, they were surprising plays. And now let's talk about one guy who's got all the talent, but you want to talk about out of structure.
Oh, my God. You're talking Mahomes. Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. You could watch 100 throws of his and not have one repeated motion.
Sometimes you could watch 100 throws in one game.
Yeah, right. You could.
As he had against Oklahoma, I think he had, what, 88 throws?
Unbelievable.
I know.
But the talent.
I hate those games.
Off.
When I watch those games on tape when they were at 110 plays, it's, oh,
it's
my God. I feel like I have to take a week off to watch the one
game.
It's like
the Super Bowl.
I know.
Right?
Mahomes, to me, look, he's got talent. He made a ton of plays outside of structure. He's a very loose, undisciplined player. The way I best would describe him is buried beneath a lot of talent is an almost alarming lack of any refinement. And I think that you have to have a real hardcore coaching plan in place, and you must be willing, and he must be willing, to inculcate all the subtle nuances and disciplines of playing quarterback. If you draft him with the idea, oh, this guy's a playmaker, he's going to run around and make plays, you're going to be, in my view, sorely disappointed.
That's not how it works in the NFL.
You've
got to be able to win from structural. I will say this, his arm reminds me of Jeff George. And in my mind, that is a high compliment.
The problem is he throws so many balls off balance.
Going backwards.
Yes, yes, that, you know, his arm shows up because he can make a lot of those kinds of throws, but that's just a tough way to go.
He makes a lot of those no, throws, but in the NFL, those typically end up as no.
And you have to parse through those throws, Nathan, when you watch tape. You know, when you start seeing guys just run around with a lack of discipline and structure and throw a ball up, and in college it becomes a 40-yard gain, you got to be careful about chalking those kinds of plays up as positive plays.
Well, I think you saw a lot of that when you watched Johnny Manziel throwing it up to Mike Evans, and I even think you saw some of that with Deshaun Watson throwing it up to Mike Williams.
I mean, on that final drive, which obviously they won the game against Alabama, taking nothing away from Deshaun, but two of those, he just threw it up, contested catches by Mike Williams. Now, those catches do happen in the NFL, but that in and of itself does not necessarily mean, wow, that's a great job by the quarterback.
Absolutely. You know. All right, so the fifth guy we haven't talked about yet was the MVP of the Senior Bowl, Davis Webb.
Yeah.
Replaced Jared Goff in that offense. Looked very good. He's got the size, can make the throws. Some people saying he's moved himself into day two, maybe even late day one consideration. What do you think of Davis Webb?
You know, another guy in the air raid offense. The California version was a little different than the Texas Tech version because Kingsbury, Cliff Kingsbury, the coach there, came from Mike Leach, and that's the hardcore air raid.
Yep.
California, they kind of tweaked it
a little. The bear raid.
Yeah,
as they call it.
Yeah. And Davis Webb's another guy that needs a lot of work with his footwork and his balance. Very representative of air raid quarterbacks because that's not what they need to do to run that offense with all those quick throws. So he's another guy that needs a ton of work in that area. To me, and I, again, now you get back to how Hugh Jackson and staff sees him, but I look at a guy like Davis Webb who would be best suited getting drafted by, let's say, an Arizona or a San Diego and sitting behind a Carson Palmer or a Phillip Rivers. I think his ultimate skill set probably fits that more. You know, bigger pocket guy, not immobile, but he's not going to really be an outside the pocket player.
Sure.
And I think he would be best served in that kind of situation, learning how to play the position from the pocket from guys like Palmer and Rivers who are masters of playing from the pocket.
Yes. All right. Of those five guys, who has the most upside that if they are able to maximize on their potential, who has the most upside to be the best quarterback from this bunch?
Well, that's a hard question because now I think it gets down to scheme and how they're used and
or
personnel.
Trait-wise? Does trait-wise matter?
Look. I think Kaiser, to me, you know, the slow eyes are a concern, but I think traits are there.
Yep, I'd agree.
Mahomes is, and I'm being honest, was hard for me because he was so undisciplined that, you know, I think as a coach, maybe you'd love to coach that, but he's going to need to be coached hard. And it's going to really come down on the philosophy of the coaching staff on what you want him to do.
Will his interviews be maybe more important than other people where you try to understand really how able he is to grasp NFL concepts and implement
possibly,
them and go through
possibly.
The tape?
Possibly. And, you know, again, I don't get the chance to do that.
Right.
So I'm just watching tape. And you know, you miss out. Sometimes I'm wrong, like many people, because I don't get that chance
that
to really
sure.
learn the kid. You know, I think Trubisky is probably a guy, and I'm anxious to see what his height is here. You know, people are saying he's going to be under 6'2". And if he is, you know, I'm not saying he can't play, but now you're getting into being a little shorter.
Yeah.
And that's
only two quarterbacks in the first round, Rex Grossman, yeah. Johnny Manziel, under 6'2".
And that does not seem like a really good sample to me.
No,
I could be wrong on
makes
that.
Makes you an outlier.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, you don't want that. Not a good outlier there.
So you know, I think, there's a lot to look at. And you know, I think Trubisky, to me, I think he should have played a second year, you know, in the NFL. I mean, in college football. But he came out. We'll see. That's a hard question about, you know, people like Liss, who's first, who's second, who's, you know. As I said, now it comes down to who does Hugh Jackson feel that he can mold as a quarterback? As I mentioned when we started, do you maybe take a top player, whether it's Miles, whoever is at the top of your board, and maybe you can take Nathan Peterman in the second or third round, and you can mold him in your offense to, you know, an Andy Dalton kind of player. And if you can then build around him, you can run an efficient NFL offense.
Absolutely. There are going to be a lot of options for the Browns in this one. What kind of quarterback, in your mind, knowing studying Hugh Jackson over time as you have, what is his prototype? Because at some level, you think it's a big, strong-arm pocket guy like Carson Palmer. You know what? He mortgaged the farm there in Oakland
yes.
to bring Palmer in. He likes that guy. We've seen him have success with Andy Dalton, who's maybe more of a processor and a distributor in the quick passing game as opposed to a vertical guy. And then last year, you know, he pulls in RG3, who is neither of those things. And obviously, I don't know that it necessarily went as well as they would have liked. But what do you think he looks for? Because if it is Palmer,
well,
maybe it's Kaiser. And if it's the other, maybe it's not.
My sense with you, I think there's an element of I want to do a lot of cool stuff with you, but I think at his core, he would ideally like the Palmer, who is the second guy? Oh, the Dalton. I think he, at his core, being in the NFL for quite a number of years, understands the need to have your quarterback be efficient from the pocket. Now, Palmer, at his absolute best in his career, was a high-level pocket quarterback.
Absolutely.
Because he had the arm. Look, you probably remember when he came into Cleveland last year, and they were down, I think, 20 to 10 at the half.
Yep.
And he made some big-time, you know, Palmer, at his best, is as good a thrower as you can have. Dalton's not quite at that level, but at his core, Dalton's still a pocket player.
Absolutely.
And I think you, in an ideal world, if you got you with truth serum, you know, and I think he would want that guy. Now, the RG3 thing, I struggled with that, you know, but what I think doesn't matter. They made the move. I don't think ultimately that's the kind of guy he would want if he really had his choice.
Because that's what's so interesting to me about it, is because the one free agent, if he is a free agent, that is constantly linked to the Browns is Tyrod Taylor, who is much more of the RG3, even though I think he's a better player at this point in his career and has done it over the last years. But he's not that pocket guy.
Not a real good arm, not an anticipation thrower. Very inconsistent accuracy. That's why Tyrod Taylor is theoretically out there. If Tyrod Taylor was really a good player, you're not going to let a quarterback walk.
On a team that is projected to draft a quarterback in the first round?
Correct.
Right.
So
I agree with
you.
You
know, so,
we are like-minded.
I mean, again, I don't know. When you say that Tyrod Taylor that is associated with the Browns, again, we don't know if the Browns are interested in him or if that's just media talk.
Absolutely.
We don't know that.
Absolutely.
We don't know if it's alternate facts here, Nathan.
That's right. Listen, unfair, sad. Well, let me ask a final one, Greg, before I let you go. And obviously, we appreciate this. One of the things that I think a lot of people respect your work so much for is the film study, the hours you put in, the detail in your analysis. For people out there who want to kind of do that on their own to the level that they can study film, because I get asked this a lot. To me, you're the quarterback guy. When you're watching, what are the key things that you're watching when you watch quarterback tape? Where are your eyes focused on when you're watching that position?
And that question has a lot of answers, but I will say this. I was very fortunate, Nathan, in my career to spend a lot of time with Bill Walsh. And I was with him maybe 6 or 7 different times where he taught me so much. And to me, it all starts with the fundamentals of the position. Very basic stuff. Quarterback is not a roll the ball out, let's go make a play position. And it starts, when I start watching quarterbacks, I'm looking at their footwork. I'm looking at their balance. I'm looking at their ball position. Things like, then you start going beyond and you want to see how they throw it. Is the delivery compact? You know, do they step to their throws? Do they move their eyes with their feet?
Yep.
You know, all these things that dictate whether guys make consistent, accurate throws. Now, if you're reducing it, the throwing part to its simplest terms, you want to see quarterbacks throw it to the right receiver at the right time with accuracy.
In the right place.
In the right place.
Yep.
And obviously, ball placement becomes so critical because you could do everything right, but if you can't throw it where you want to, then you've got nothing. But then you also get into what I look at, too, is within the context of an offense, are you throwing it to the right receiver? What are the route concepts? You know, if you're throwing what we call, let's say, a flood concept or a three-level stretch, are you throwing it to the right guy based on the coverage? So quarterback is both a technical position, a nuanced position in terms of fundamentals, and then it's also the reading. You know, you have to be able to see things. And you hear a lot of people talk about slow eyes, quick eyes. Does he have field vision? You know, you get a feel for that watching tape as well. And those things are guys who don't have good field vision in college are not likely to get it in the NFL.
Yeah, if you can't read a college defense, the complexities of the NFL are going to present some problems.
Major problems.
Yes.
So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot there, but that's just a sort of the Cliff Notes version of it.
And I think, you know, it's amazing how demanding the position is because – you talked about Carson Palmer, and at his best, maybe one of the best pure throwers that we've seen. I read that Monday Morning Quarterback article where they spent a couple days with him.
Oh, Peter King, yeah.
And just the level of detail that goes into a game plan, and that was to face the Browns,
right,
is mind-boggling.
And that's
a lifestyle.
That's correct, and then that's what goes into it. I mean, you know, you have to know this stuff cold, and it has to become second nature.
And is that where you talk – so not only the tape can tell you one thing, but – you need to know if they have the commitment to the lifestyle.
Right, and that's where, you know, I don't get to talk to these guys because I don't work for a team, but you have to
why
feel.
Why not, by the way?
Right, well.
Would you want to do that?
I think there was a time I did. You know, I'm a little older now. I mean, obviously, I mean, if somebody called me up and wanted to talk about it, I wouldn't hang the phone up.
Right.
But it's not something I'm actively pursuing, you know. I know I look like I'm 20, Nathan, but I'm actually
youthful.
But I'm actually a little older than that. So, but no, it's something that you know, I think through the years I would have loved to have had the opportunity. But the way it is because I've never done it, I probably wasn't considered being in the true loop of, you know, in the league. And you know, I reached a certain point in my life where I wasn't going to start as a scout being on the road for 250 days a year.
Of course
I mean,
not.
If I was 25 and single, I would love to do that.
Sure.
But at my age, you know, as I was getting older with a family.
40 is the new 20.
Right. I wish I was 40, believe me. But as I got older with a family, I wasn't necessarily interested in going on the road for 250 days a year.
Well, we certainly all benefit mm-hmm. from having your analysis available to all of us, and you can get your articles right now at Yahoo. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg Cosell. Greg, it is always a pleasure. I always feel like I learned something, and that's what it's all about here at this time, and great to see you here at the Combine.
Nathan, thanks. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.